everyone, and welcome to another edition of your Daily Dose, your yachting, sailing, and boating news source every single day, Monday through Friday. My name is Rhea. I am your host. And if you like what you see here, please do hit the subscribe button and make sure to tune in for more things happening in the future. Now let's head off to our daily stories. A luxury superyacht has been frozen in a German port after the police verified that its owner is a sanctioned pro-Kremlin oligarch, the country's media reported. Germany's federal police established as of this week that the yacht's owner is Farhad Akhmedov, an Azerbaijani businessman with close ties to the Kremlin. Akhmedov was on April 8th swept into a round of European Union sanctions in response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The Luna stayed in the port of Hamburg while German police unpicked the vessel's complex ownership structure. The yacht had been held in Liechtenstein Trust, a mechanism often used to conceal assets as part of a bitter divorce row between Akhmedov and his ex-wife, Mail Online reported. The yacht is worth an approximate 400 million euros or 420 million US. Reuters put that figure at around 460 million US. It measures 377 feet long and boasts 9 decks and even has a mini submarine. According to The Guardian, it has 10 VIP cabins and a 66-foot long swimming pool. The Port of Hamburg and the German Federal Police did not immediately respond to insiders' request for comment. So it looks like another one has been, I don't know what they're going to do with all these yachts because someone's going to have to maintain them. It is going to be interesting, I think, to see what's coming in the future. They continue to get these yachts, but you know, if you, as a country, now I think that is probably the third that the US is responsible for. If each individual country is responsible for the upkeep, by the time they sell them and for dirt cheap prices, they'll probably have paid more money in the upkeep of these yachts than they'll ever get from them. But we'll see if it has the desired effect. Following along on our previous story, news of the first superyacht belonging to a Russian oligarch seized by international authorities as sanctions went into effect was met with a sort of gotcha glee and an obvious sense of relief. The reality of these economic measures is only now sinking in because, as it turns out, maintaining a vessel of this kind is no walk in the park. Whoever has bought and owned a boat knows that it's costly and time-consuming business. You have to ensure its seaworthiness once the season starts, worry about and pay for storage, upkeep, fuel, taxes, and more. It goes without saying that the bigger the boat is, the bigger the associated expenses it brings. With a super yacht estimated at around 300 million, you're looking at 30 million in annual running costs, even if it never leaves the dock. The problem is the United States now has two such humongous and super expensive yachts in its possession, and it will have to pay for both. Their Russian oligarch property, seized under current sanctions against Russia for its February and ongoing invasion of Ukraine. One is the 325 million Amadea currently in Fiji, while the other is the smaller and cheaper 90 million Tango now stuck in Palma de Mallorca. Economic sanctions are not new, and many of the Russians targeted now have been around the block as far as sanctions go. But this is the first time that the US, the UK, European Union countries, Australia, Japan, and Canada are taking action together at this scale, which brings us to the issue at hand. There is no precedence for this type of situation, which means that seized superyachts and the homes, private jets, cars, etc., are stuck in lingo limbo. The idea is admirable, of course, to join hands and take away the expensive toys of the same people who are believed to be financing Putin's war. But so far, the reality is a little bit different. While as far-reaching implications remain, still unknown. In late April, U.S. President Joe Biden spoke of an executive order that would grant the U.S. government more authority so as to speed up the process with seized assets and see them sold off. Again, it's an admirable and common sense idea, but experts have doubts as to how or if it might be put into practice. In the case of the two superyachts, transferring them to the U.S. is too costly to make sense, while selling them where they are under U.S. authority will only add another layer of unnecessary administrative expense and delay. The superyacht market booming as it is probably not exactly packed with billionaires looking to buy assets tainted by the Russian connection, especially since the same assets are all custom builds that come with a very specific request. Then there is no framework for what the U.S. government should do with them in order to turn them into cash. Sean Rydell, financial crimes expert and the CEO of Elucidate, explains for the same media outlet. So really, it comes down to the fact that where are they going to find the money to maintain them? Because, you know, these are floating apartment buildings, and you can't leave them alone. There has to be crew on them at all times. They have to be insured, and you can't insure them without crew. There's a lot of money that goes into these super yachts. So let's hope that the regular taxpayer straight across the face of the planet doesn't have to pull into our pockets to pay for the upkeep of these vessels. Now, if indeed they end up withdrawing and they get their yachts back, will they be able to claim from governments any damages, etc.? I think this is something that we really haven't seen before, and nobody's really sure what the next steps are, because it's all fine and dandy to say we're taking away everything that they own until they come to their senses. But there's a lot of legal and financial obligations that come with that. So I guess time will tell, and we'll continue to follow the story. Now it's the season that everybody is looking towards, either their summer vacations in yachting. We're looking at changing the season. We're heading from, of course, the Caribbean season and Fort Lauderdale area. We're heading over to the Mediterranean. And COVID rules are relaxing, not completely, but there's a whole pile of different rules and regulations for different countries. This information is coming to us from Blue Marine Travel. So thank you to them for providing all of this really relevant information. Hosting approximately 20 million visitors in 2019, France is easily the world's most sought after destination. Currently, travelers visiting the European hotspot from green countries such as the US can enter with proof of full vaccination or a negative PCR or antigen test performed within the 72 hours or 48 hours before entering France if unvaccinated. Spain is open to fully vaccinated travelers and those with proof of recovery from COVID-19 within the past 6 months. Visitors over the age of 12 and under the age of 18 traveling from outside of the European Union and Schengen zone do not require proof of vaccination, but instead a negative PCR test that was taken within 72 hours of arrival. Meanwhile, children younger than 12 are exempt from vaccination and testing requirements. In the U.S., as of late last year, air travelers aged 2 and older must show proof of a negative viral test result taken within 1 day of their flight's departure to the United States ahead of boarding. Those who have recently recovered from COVID-19 can travel with proof such as a positive COVID-19 viral test result on a sample taken no more than 90 days before the flight's departure from a foreign country, along with a letter from a licensed healthcare provider or a public health official clearing them for travel. Visitors to China are required to present 2 negative tests, including a PCR and antibody test taken within 48 hours of travel. In addition to the negative test, qualified travelers need to apply for a visa in advance and show proof of vaccination against COVID-19 on arrival. Italy recently eased COVID-19 restrictions to allow for easier entry for international visitors. Americans and other non-EU travelers can now visit Italy without fear of quarantine as long as they are fully vaccinated or have recently recovered from COVID-19. Unvaccinated individuals will require a negative PCR test result taken within 72 hours of arrival or a rapid antigen test result completed within 48 hours of arrival. Turkey only requires a negative PCR test for individuals over the age of 12 years old who are now able to show proof of full vaccination or are unable to submit a document stating that they have tested positive for COVID-19 within the last 6 months. Mexico continues to welcome travelers without requiring proof of COVID-19 vaccination, recovery from the virus, or a negative test result. However, visitors may encounter health screenings such as temperature checks upon arrival. As of May 1st, Thailand is open to those who have been fully vaccinated against COVID-19 without requiring a negative test result or brief hotel quarantine. Plus, officials have lowered the required amount of health insurance coverage from $20,000 to $10,000. Travelers will provide proof of their vaccination and insurance coverage when they register on the Thailand Pass website at least 3 to 7 days before their scheduled departure to Thailand. Germany is open to fully vaccinated travelers from non-EU countries. However, starting October 1st, 2022, visitors will require at least 3 doses of the vaccine to qualify as fully vaccinated and be granted entry. The United Kingdom has dropped all remaining travel restrictions. As of March 18th, international travelers arriving in the UK from overseas don't need to complete a passenger locator form nor take a COVID-19 test ahead of their trip, regardless of their vaccinated status. Thanks to Blue Marine Travel again for all the great travel updates. Another little tidbit on the travel side of things, especially if you are in the UK, they do have a 10-week backup on passport renewals as a result of the COVID pandemic, and so many people weren't able to travel, so they didn't bother renewing their passports. And of course, once everything started to clear up, there was a mad rush to get their passports so they could have a great summer vacation. But some of you may have left it too late. So if you are planning on going anywhere this summer, you best get in there. And that is for UK residents. And as well, something to bear in mind, there's going to be chaos in airports around the world. A lot of airports had to lay off a lot of staff. And therefore, the staff that they are going to have might be new staff or green staff, as it were. So things, just have a little bit of patience. This next story has actually been taking the rounds of social media, and I think it's really important to highlight. As we all make our living off of the ocean, it doesn't matter where you are or where you live, what your job is, we actually rely on water just to be alive. So we need to be aware of the environment. Plastic debris from dozens of popped party balloons carelessly ending up as litter in Biscayne Bay has people upset. Footage of the bad behavior has caused online outrage. Just off of Coconut Grove around 4:15 p.m. Tuesday, video was taken of people on board a yacht near the Bayshore Landing Marina popping party balloons and improperly disposing the decor. Around 200 balloons were attached to the 58-foot vessel after an event, a chartered party. Instead of properly disposing the balloons, the crew members on board began popping the balloons with knives, letting the debris fall into Biscayne Bay. Those who witnessed the act and work on the water took exception and recorded the incident to post on social media. Dumping balloons into the ocean, folks, is illegal. Many members of law enforcement were tagged in the original social media post, including the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission and other members of the boating yachting communities. So that is actually how it came to my attention, was that Alex over at Yachting World, he had tagged it and was outraged. And of course, he has quite a following after one. Come on, guys. I mean, they were tied. So they still had the rope. They were all tied around the boat. I don't understand how they could just not have untied them and disposed of them properly. But you know what? Maybe name and shame. Now, this last story today, I have to apologize. I am heading back to the U.S. and Just another shining example of some of our finer citizens. Not really. Investigators aren't sure how 45-year-old Renee Wasbach got the keys to the yacht, but her career as a pirate were cut short when they busted her. A Webster woman was arrested after police said she went joyriding on a stolen 52-foot yacht Monday morning. Surveillance video shows a woman identified by Galveston police as 45-year-old Renee Wasbach hop aboard the boat. Police said she took the yacht from the berth in the 6100 block of Herds Lane and headed out to Offat's Bayou. The current owners live on the yacht, but they weren't on board when it was taken. When they returned, their home on the water wasn't there. As we rounded the corner and looked out over the water, the boat was gone, my husband said. The boat is gone. I said, what do you mean the boat is gone? With loyalty gone, Grubbs felt like the wind was taken out of her sails. It was like having your home stolen because we live aboard. It was gone. So no one knew where it had gone or when or anything. Grubbs looked at the surveillance cameras and called police, the sheriff's office, and even the Coast Guard. 2 hours later, they found the yacht moored to a pier at 7509 Broadway, and deputies arrested Wasbach. She is charged with unlawful use of a motor vehicle and possession of a controlled substance. Police say they found, shocker, meth when they searched her. I don't know if we had a piracy in recent history, the lieutenant said. Hopefully we won't have any time soon. Investigators still aren't sure how she got inside the property because it's surrounded by a 10-foot wall. They also still have no idea how she got the keys. So first off, and I'm not sure, it was another story that I saw. It was like 11 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what it is about the States. People getting like meth off their heads and getting drunk and stealing yachts. It seems to be a thing. 10-foot wall, locked gates. I don't know how they're managing. But really, guys, come on. I said it once, I'll say it again. I don't judge anybody on their desire to use whatever they use, but just remember that if you are incapable of making correct decisions, don't do it. Just say no. Right. That's it for today's Daily Dose. I thank you guys so much for joining me once again. If you like what you've heard and you want to be part of it again and listen to it again, please do hit the subscribe button. If you have any great news stories that you think should be told, feel free to contact us at info@yachtinginternationalradio.com. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again tomorrow.